Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is The Consciousness Shift, and I'm Gwendolyn Berry, together with Nicole Tomasini in New York City. I'm down here in South Florida. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Gwen.
And we're just going to have a conversation this evening about worldviews. Before we do that, we thought we'd give you something to listen to. That's pretty cool. And it's sort of, even though it's the new Bond song, it fits the occasion. So let me play that.
Stand up, we'll face it all together as sky.
Wow, what a great song.
It is. You know, I don't know about you, Nick, but I agree with Adele. We should let the sky fall.
Yeah, I agree, too.
Just let the sky fall. Let it happen. It's all going to be all right. Before we get into just our little discussion, our little conversation about worldviews, and what I mean by that is, you know, how you see the world unfolding for you and where your place is in it. And it's a good conversation to have. We need to do it again and make it something that we schedule and get folks to come in on. I only put a message out today to folks, and it was just a little late. I think everybody's out there doing what they need to do, and it's holiday time and yada, yada, yada. Anyways, one thing I do want to bring up to folks' awareness, we do have a lot of folks that listen to us in archive, and you don't always see people listening in the chat room either. And live, and that's weird, but it happens because that's what the numbers tell me. And I would like folks to do this. There is the story of a Native American gentleman who has been unjustly incarcerated. He's now down here in a Florida penitentiary, not too far from me, actually. He was at Wounded Knee. He's part of AIM. I'm talking about Leonard Peltier. Do you know about him?
No.
He's a Native American activist and AIM member, and when the bad stuff happened down there in at the Pine Ridge Reservation at Wounded Knee, when they took it over in 75, Leonard was actually not one of the ones who was carrying a gun. He was actually taking care of the children, but it was a terrible ordeal. There were lives taken and lives lost. And basically it was a government set up between a corrupt faction of Native American council members, the folks that ran the goon squad, the on-reservation police, made a deal with the American government, with the DOI there, the Department of the Interior, for the uranium mining rights. Now, there's been, like, if you've seen the movie Thunderheart, it is a direct reflection of that story. what happened was the FBI came in there to make sure that none of the activists would get across a message or make the complaint that this was an illegal move, and that's why they took over Wounded Knee, the AIM folks. Leonard was not one of the activists with a gun in his hands, but he was the only one left standing around for the FBI to grasp. So they accused him of being the one who shot the two FBI men who had come on to the reservation and were killing Native Americans, and I'm sketching this out rather roughly, but this is the story, and it's not a story. These are the facts. And over the years, the prosecution has agreed to the fact that they never had evidence against Leonard. Peter Coyote, the actor, has tried for years and years to bring awareness to this with people from, of course, AIM and Native American societies all across the country have tried and tried and tried to have him excused, clemency given, a presidential pardon. He's been in prison now for 37 years.
Wow.
And it's time they released him. He's a fabulous artist. He's a writer, poet, and he's still an activist, of course, but he has paid a price that, you know, we all make our choices, and there's a reason for everything. I would say Leonard's reasons for being incarcerated are really understood and played out, and my point is for everyone listening to call in to the White House. And that phone number is 202-456-2121. It's very easy to do. There are plenty of online petitions that you can go and sign electronically online that are asking for the freedom and the clemency, the release of Leonard Peltier. But it does make a huge difference when people begin calling. And it's that time of the year, and at the end of an administration, when the president sitting will make these kinds of exonerations. And did you know that this president is the only one in history who has not made many at all?
Wow. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, very few. I think it's under 20. And
now's the time then in term number two.
Well, it's at the end, just before he's re-administered the oath of office, at the end of his term, that these kind of claims. Now, people approached President Clinton at the end of his term to do this, and Peter Coyote actually spoke with him, and so did. There was a recording of Amy Goodman with President Clinton. You can find that over at Democracy Now, talking to him about, well, why can't you give clemency to Leonard Peltier? And he said, well, I don't know the facts in the case and yada, yada, yada. Well, the FBI has been keeping Peltier in prison all these years. It's been a huge amount of pressure from the FBI on all the administrations to not release him, because releasing Peltier would, I think, rightly enable actions to go forward legally about the uranium mining rights on the reservation and what's been done illegally and perpetrated by the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the Goon Squad, the Native Americans who were in on it, it really needs to come to pass. So I just wanted to get it out there. I've written letters for 20 years for Leonard Peltier, and I know a lot of people have been aware of him. So I just wanted to get it out there. Call the president's office. They do listen. They do pass these messages on to President Obama's people. And he does hear about how many people who have called in and said free Leonard Peltier, So it's 202-456-2121. They're real nice people who answer the
2121 or 1212?
1212, is that it?
There you go. Nice. That's what I thought you said.
Okay. It's real easy to find the, if you punch in White House on Google, it comes up with it real fast. So I just wanted to get that set.
Nice. As the Popo, start their sirens right at the end of what you're saying. Amazing.
So I think that the stars and the sky and all of the, we actually had an asteroid this week move between the Earth, a large one, move between the Earth and the Moon. And that's a very, very rare occurrence, very scary, really. I mean, there is a great deal of distance between us and the Moon, but you got to remember, the Moon is close enough to us to stay within our gravitational grasp.
Mm-hmm.
So how funky doodle is that? Detroit went by. I mean, tell me that and do a little hoochie coo dance with the influences.
Yeah, for real. What's the, metaphysical vibration of an asteroid?
Well, it's I would say that the, going back to Hermeticism, as above, so below, it denotes confusion and unexpected events and close calls. I mean, really close calls.
Wow.
Between the Earth and the Moon. And, of course, if we were living, you know, 4,000 years ago when it was the sacred science and astronomy and astrology were the science of the day, which makes more sense than most of what we regard as, you know, guidance these days, you know, the one God thing is a guy
mm-hmm.
who smites, sends archangels down to bring us plagues, things like that. I mean, you know, they talk about demons. I understand that.
Right.
This guy that, you know, is written up in the Old and the New Testament, not the Son, as it were, or the regeneration mm-hmm. God, but the Almighty, All-Powerful. Now, this is the exact description of demonic behavior, how this guy has treated humanity. I mean,
yeah,
play.
It's so true.
And you know, and it's, we've got to get beyond it, don't we? We really
yeah.
got to get beyond it. We've got to go and say, look, these are our myths. These are parables. These are
mm-hmm.
cosmologies that were brought into play so that folks could find themselves, well, really, so that leadership could be harnessed more securely in a, let's say, masculine sense, and that people could be controlled. I mean,
mm-hmm.
and you're controlled under fear. We've been living
right.
under fear. And
mm-hmm.
That's what the one God there has got to offer. And if you question it, it has been the routine if you questioned it. You know, you could find yourself at the end of the, at the busy end of a stake.
Mm-hmm.
You could be hung, you could be crucified. You know, it's like,
yeah.
And
yeah.
So here's the thing. We're getting beyond this. This is the time when things are changing. And, of course, it's not overnight, but I do think we're all experiencing humongous influences right now where it's an exciting time to be alive. It's also so challenging.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense with the asteroid, really, about, you know, confusion and close calls kind of a thing, you know, because personally, I've been doing really well this month with my vibration and not really feeling fear, like letting go of a lot of things that, you know, have been pulling on my consciousness, you know, since I knew about money, really.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, so like I was telling you earlier, today, it some of that, because I had made a decision to ride this wave of doing what I love every day, doing it in a spirit of love, and trusting and having faith in everything that I'm doing, and that the universe knows exactly what I want, what I'm looking for. And so that has been going well until the last couple of days. And I think today was the day that my consciousness was like, okay, you know, what's this pulling? What's this nagging? And it's like, I think I just had to go into it and just say everything that I had to say, whether I thought it was the right thing or the right whatever or not, to just say it. And it was like taking a big emotional, energetic shit, really.
Dumping.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think we have to do that. Listen, we are human, and that's part of the perfection of what's going on too. It always troubled me from the very beginning. The folks that would always say at the shop when they were doing a workshop, I remember we had some wonderful people doing angel workshops, and they would always, that's the wrong way to say that, they would bring the lessons in about working with angels as if it was always, you know, going to be candy cotton and sweetness and love and everything's all right. And there's that side of it that the child inside of us wishes to embrace and have as a pink energetic blanket to wrap around ourselves. And then there's this. There's lessons that we need to learn through the polarity of hardship and working through the stress and recognizing that, you know, it's one foot ahead of the other.
And the programming, letting go of the programming, realizing certain thoughts that you have, you know, for what? And one of the things that really freed me from it, I said, okay, if I didn't have to worry about money, what would I be doing every day? What would I do today? What would I do tomorrow? And guess what? It was the same thing as I'm doing now.
Yes.
You know. So
you and I agree on that. We agreed yesterday on that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we're doing it. And we really are an example. We are a good example. And we're doing a good job of it. Both of us are, even though we do have fear comes back, challenges us to find our way through. You know, my kid sister keeps telling me, you know, Gwen, come on. It'll be there when you need it. Things work out. You know, all those platitudes. Well, those platitudes actually do, they carry weight. They do have an anchor. They do happen. It's a choice. It really is. And it fluctuates back and forth, back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
It's there are moments that you wonder, you know, is this real? Do I really have to go through this after all the work I've done? La, la, la.
Mm-hmm.
Because it gets, something hits you from left side. And I think that what is actually, it's sticking to your worldview. It's sticking to your dream. I could have said, what's your dream?
Mm-hmm.
What is your path? What have you chosen to do with your life? What's your dream? What are you building? But I said worldview because basically I think that it fits better maybe if we think in terms of our contribution to the reality. No, that's not a good word. Our contribution to the process that we're going through right now on a world scale.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And that cleansing out of things. I mean, I understand. I think that's why I can do so well with these things, because I've developed the viewpoint that is outside of myself and is bigger than myself and is looking down on this life story that I'm living, knowing that there are billions doing the same thing. So that definitely helps. And the unplugging, you know, if you remember in The Matrix, when Neo is recovering from taking all those tubes out from being plugged into The Matrix and all the things that he needed to relearn and to fill his consciousness with the information that he was really going to need. You know, I think sometimes I know I'm doing so much work, but it's unseen work. And sometimes my conscious mind thinks that I'm just sort of, you know, off in la-la land or where are you? But I know in my heart that that's when I'm learning things that I'm not processing right now. Like, it's I'm tapping into something, and there aren't necessarily words to it, but I'm definitely somewhere. And, you know, to convince your conscious mind, you know, I realize that whenever I hear myself trying to convince somebody else, I know it's really that I'm trying to convince my conscious mind that what
right.
I'm doing is right.
Yes.
And that idea of what is right, you know, right for who? Like, who says? You say what's right. And having that be enough. I feel like I've been working on this for a while, and I would imagine that a lot of people can relate to this. You know, it's like, okay,
oh, yeah.
You've gotten the teaching. You know you're focused on your bliss, and you're doing all these things. But always knowing that that is the right thing, that if you decide to walk to the left, then that's right. If you decide to walk to the right, then that's right. It's only when you start to second-guess what you're doing, when confusion happens and you're not sure.
Yes.
It's a long lesson.
Well, I
feel like I've been working on this for a while.
It's about having faith in yourself. And
right.
we grasp faith in ourselves by having faith in the rest of humanity, so we share. You know, it's we're not alone in the journey.
Yeah.
And being connected is about, you know, being with other folks that are awake, and it's also about reaching out to the people who are not awake. And that's what we've decided to do with our lives, or we decided before we got here, that this was going to come up. And this
mm-hmm.
is not an easy life, okay? It can be if we perceive it that way. And for
mm-hmm.
a long period of time, like a month, I can go along and have a glorious, easy, wonderful, progressive life that I'm
mm-hmm.
doing what I wish, I'm fulfilling my desires, you know,
mm-hmm.
and contributing to the awakening of humanity at a very special time. And
mm-hmm.
then something comes along to challenge me to take it a step higher or a step to the left or the step to the right to learn something I need to know to get to realign again. I can't put it better than that.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense.
And you know, there's nothing wrong and there's nothing right. It's all that
mm-hmm.
part of the journey. On winter solstice, if we woke up and we already know that there's not going to be 3 days of darkness because there is not a full eclipse projected. But if we did wake up and it went dark during the day, we'd freak out, wouldn't we? We'd be pretty much like our ancestors of, you know, 12,000 years ago and go, what the fuck, at ground level. Well, maybe we have to go all the way back. Maybe we have to journey back to ground level and come back up front real quick right now, because that's how fast things are happening.
Wow, that's really wild that you just said that, because that was a lot. I felt tired today, and that was part of it. It's like I didn't want to do the things that I was telling myself I wanted to do and needed to do, and I just shut down, and then I shut down again, and again, the conscious mind is always saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? Is this the right thing? Are you sure you know what you're doing? What are you doing? And I thought, I want to slow everything down, you know, enough with the multitasking, enough with having 40,000 thoughts. Even if it's two thoughts, you know, just enough. Like, we just, obviously, my body is telling me something, and I'm listening to it, and that's what I'm doing, and that's enough.
Well, if you're supposed to, because, listen, Tracy spoke to me day before yesterday on the phone, and she had gone down and done her duty by going for jury duty, which she always gets out of, and that's just how she is. And she was on her way home, and I thought she had called because she might be stopping by, but no, she just wanted to let me know how things were crazy in the judicial system still down at the old courthouse. And she said, now I'm going home to take a nap, you know, and it's nice. Like, well, I can't tell you, I understand the tiredness. There's a weariness that
yes.
has come over me in the last couple of months, and I don't know if it's the it's a halting, you know, apprehension at all I have to accomplish in the next month, and that's a challenge too for me to just allow things to happen and have faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's probably a lot of it.
Yeah, and
yeah.
At the same time, I can't tell you how hard it is to get up in the morning and to even get up and go and fill another box. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I think that this, my sense is that this feeling, because I've been feeling the same thing, and especially for the last, you know, month hardcore, probably two. And
yeah.
I think it's, my sense is that it's one way for our higher self and everything that is helping us and guiding us is shutting down the body so that we do not do, and it's time for downloads, it's time for reflection, it's time for asking questions, getting answers. You know, if we always have a lot of physical energy, we would always be running around. I mean, that's what makes the most sense to me.
Well, we are supposed to be anchoring ourselves into what is going on. I know that's true. And anchoring as who we are and what we do. And perhaps there's an added energy to it that is tasking everyone who's... Now, you know, Flash, Silver Moon, put out her Astro Flash, and she noted that some folks are tapping into things, and, you know, Team Dark is what they call them now, you know, the other side of the road, as it were. And there's a lot of talk about which... I will say, well, you know, I don't really like to buy into the drama of somebody's trying to push us down and keep us from getting there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the truth is there are these polarities and always have been. I think that Team Dark is representative of that 1%. They've been there all along. And, in fact, the truth is that, I mean, I no longer think of myself as a nutcase for understanding that conspiracy is not, you know, a bad word.
Mm-hmm.
It has due diligence. It's just not accepted by, you know, the corporate establishment. And there's a lot
mm-hmm.
of fear in
mm-hmm.
Deep Dark, if you will. There's a lot of fear because a lot of people are becoming enlightened right now and
mm-hmm.
awakening. And so there would be added pressure. There would be added nastiness out there pushing against the goodness. So when you have all of this brightness going on at the same time, the other side's ramping it up, trying to, you know, bring a balance, as it were, or to, you know, really, for those of us bringing the light or carrying light and working to awaken, we want to see more light than darkness. So we're really trying to get things out of balance. We're trying to tip
mm-hmm.
it in another direction. So you got to expect that the other side of the court, and it's there, is
mm-hmm.
doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm. That's funny, because that's the other thing that I asked myself today. I thought, you know, where is this coming from? Is this a push from, you know, the dark force that's, you know, feeling me raise my vibration, and it's, you know, some final challenges? And at the end of the day, I decided that if I don't have any fear, it doesn't matter what they're trying to do. It really is all about cleaning myself out and knowing that they really don't, you know, they are losing the power. It's funny. I went to my cousin's wedding, and we had a political discussion, one of my middle-aged white male cousins. And he said, you know, my vote for the first time, like, really didn't mean anything. And I was like, well, you know, it's about time. And it was really freaky for him. And he's more liberal than some of the others, but I think it's this, you know, they also need to learn how to let go and not have, you know, it's like being the middle, the grown-up white male, and that things are just sort of, you know, this way for you, and while others, you know, suffer just because that's the status quo, you know. So there is some transitioning. I mean, we're doing all this transitioning, so obviously in a world of duality, the other side has to transition as well and understand what it is to not have these things, you know, and have that be okay for them as well.
Well, yeah, I get that. That's true. Welcome aboard, Tricia. I know that's you.
Oh yes, here I am. Thank you. Glad to be here.
We're talking about the hurdles of getting past the shift and the energy. I mean, did you notice the asteroid that passed between Earth and the Moon this past week?
No, I remember you talking about it. I mean, I've heard about it. That explains that just explains a lot. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've been just really jumpy, you know, just sort of agitated and jumpy, really like on the edge of tears, I think, for like 10 days or 2 weeks or, you know, pretty much like kind of around Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And then like all of a sudden, I don't know, I feel like I feel like I just leapt right over the hurdle and onto the other side and am, you know, running with a big smile on my face. It was great. I've had a great couple of days here. So I just feel great now.
That is good. You know, I think the other thing, Nick, here is we're being urged to remember, we could put it this way, metaphysics or spirituality 101, the little tools that work so well, like the exercises of surrounding ourselves with white light, working with our crystals, and just simply putting our intentions out there and letting them go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, without those tools, I don't know where I would be. That's actually what I thought when I got out of the bath and felt so much better. I thought, what do people do? You know, I have all these tools, this gigantic toolbox, and, you know, I still am like, oh, this one, wrench, you know, just scissors, blah, right? So, and I was like, well, I guess they figure it out somehow. But, yes, so helpful.
I hear you. I definitely hear you.
You know, I've been really mindful about remembering to use my misters in the morning before I go out.
Nice.
And before I go to bed, especially the medicine ceremony mist. I've been using this for a couple of, well, pretty much since I started getting teary in November. Because sometimes it feels like every time you leave the sanctuary of your own home, it's a medicine ceremony to me.
And so
it's like, okay, I'm going out there in the world, which is not a place that respects spirit, you know, because the world is the world, and it is what it is, and it's, you know, it's all good and whatever, but it's not, it can be really challenging when everybody around you is uptight and all this stuff, and just taking that breath, and I mean, you know, I've been restoring the apartment and getting moved and all of this stuff, but I really have been looking at it in terms of this whole year has been about restoring spirit to self, you know, like persona, like leaving the persona behind that people label as themselves, and connecting with spirit, which is really the true, eternal, divine self, and the medicine will, you know, the medicine ceremony. Well, and also I love that grandmother moon, but I mean, I just love that. That's where I connect is through the grandmothers, you know, and so having that keeps the intent clear, or at least starts it out on the right foot. You know, you get in line at the grocery store, something happens. I mean, you go into the world and something always happens that throws you off the, you know, all that level of equanimity that we try to strive for.
You don't even have to go out into the world. I mean, really, I get around just little town, or and that's maybe once a week. I found myself, you know, I've been protecting myself for the last couple of weeks, maybe the last month, from too much negativity. I don't read everything posted on Facebook anymore like I used to. I don't want to know right now. I don't want to be in an angry state of mind, and it's not healing. It's not the healing side that I really need to be walking with right now. There's a time and a place for justified anger on the political on the political mainstream. I think so. That's just who I am. However, for my own good health and to be who I wish to be in this world, and that's what the topic is, you know, walking our talk and being who we wish to be. There's an emergence of global culture going on, and our position in it is important. You know, it's important to ourselves, of course, but it's important in the greater community because we have an awareness. I do think that that's valid. I do know that that's true. It's a truth for me. When you go outside your door, and I think the mandate is simple. It's kindness. That's it. It's kindness. I've been too angry too often, and I took a good look at that a month or so ago. And I have come around to understanding, well, I'm angry for what I think are good reasons, but they've been unhealthy to me because I've lost sight of my kindness, my ability to have kindness. And then again, maybe that's all part of the plan.
Sure.
I need to see the polarities because those polarities are around us right now and more than ever, being who we are, being, as I used to have a fond saying, filling our boots, you know, is an important thing right now.
Yeah, that's amazing.
No, talk. Go ahead.
Real quick, that having that, dealing with that anger, because once again, I knew the show was going to be right. I was like, anything that didn't get clarified today will be clarified on the radio show. So, but dealing with that anger, I mean, I was feeling anger towards someone who I love very much, and I really had to walk myself through those steps of why am I feeling angry when I know and I truly believe that everyone should be able to do whatever they need to do, and there is no reason for me to feel any way about it. But yet, like you said, I had to acknowledge that anger, and I let it come up as much as it needed to. And surprisingly, it came out like a little, and that was it. I just needed to recognize where it was coming from. So that's it.
Well, Course in Miracles, there's just a little line in there about how everything we see, you know, every behavior we experience from anybody is either love or a cry for love. And, you know, and so, I mean, there's some, like, huge assholery in the world, you know, I mean, there really is. I mean, like, right now, it's really on my mind about that video that Oso has posted up at the Roundtree Room about, you know, this cousin of his being, like, totally gunned down by the cops in Oakland. You know, and that's something when you feel the anger. I mean, I read a book a long time ago. I forget who wrote it, but it's called The Dance of Anger. And in that book, it defines anger as like this really, really essential, fundamental in your soul need for a change. You know, and so like the you know, the steam coming out of your ears, the blood in your neck, pounding, those things are like a cry for a change. And so it's hard to look at that cop who did that and think, well, that's a cry for love. But certainly the whole episode, the only way to respond, I mean, like, I mean, it makes you want to go in and, like, burn down the police station and, you know, whatever else. But if you take the breath, if you take the breath and ground yourself and come to love and walk back out and, okay, I'm going to respond to this with love. Well, maybe maybe you're not even going to touch the cops. You're going to go to the family. You're going to share the information. You're going to do what you do. But you have to come back to yourself and find the love and then step forward again. And part of that is you got to feel the anger and know what's causing it and what would you like to change. Sometimes what you want to change is your response.
That's it. I know what you're saying. I went off last week about music and noise around my neighborhood, and I know you two know what I'm talking about. But, you know, I had a little conversation with a fellow who was, you know, who was doing that. And but I came around. I got very angry, very frustrated. And the only person I was hurting was me, by the way, with anger and stuff. But the thing, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's right, wrong, or anything. How are you going to find the solution to this? What step are you going to take? And I realized, you know, I would rather address this through kindness than through animosity and anger and threat, because that's not who I am. That's not who I want to be. And yet there it was right in my face, and I recognized the darkness within myself there. And I think that's what's going on with a lot of people work with the light right now. We are so sensitive. We have so much sensitivity, and especially someone like yourself, Trish, who's with these little children who denote a lot of light energy around them, it keeps your mind. I can feel the children in you with who you are. And for you to deal with that, I mean, it takes incredible strength from down deep to, because if you look, there's that video that Oso put up of that guy, that cop, shooting that child 10 times. Times he shot that child or that young man. And it was the whole thing. We've gotten to a place where we are transmuting, and Course in Miracles is a wonderful way of going through it, but just about any shamanic or spiritual path.
Absolutely. I mean, it's all just a path to get to the top of the mountain. There's lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of paths. And, you know, but all of them, I think, we're walking love. We're walking expanding self. We're walking kindness. You know, that's the path. How you can take a breath and help stay on that path, that's up to you. You know, we all respond to different things. And, you know, it's just, I mean, like for me, I mean, the kids, to me, I get such energy from being with the kids. I just feel like that's, that feeds my soul every day. But, you know, I've been thinking about something that Nicole had said some months ago about how so many people having shoulder issues these days is kind of like feeling our wings. And, you know, it's like, why are we, and it's like you say also, Gwen, it's like we are the ones we've been waiting for. And, You know, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, well, there's not going to be, I mean, like, okay, I do believe that we are energetic beings in an energetic universe. And sometimes we're connecting with energy that some people use a vocabulary word called angel to describe. But, you know, like, to me, it's just energy and who knows what it is. And we're humans and we need to communicate and we have to have vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
But having said all that, I mean, that's us. That's us. Those, that's our wings. That's, we are the
mm-hmm.
ones to be on this path. And anyway, that's, it's like I say, I mean, like, I have had an intense year in all of this, but I feel like the dam just sort of broke a couple of days ago, you know, like all this pent up, you know, I've been comparing it to almost like the earth is giving birth, or it's like we're being squeezed all year long. I mean, especially when you look at here in New York, when we had the hurricane, the blizzard, or the nor'easter, you know, you're getting pelted with ice pellets walking down the East Village, and then the election all at the same time in the same like week. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, you know, to that I have to say to you ladies, you New Yorkers, you can feel. And I say that as a Southerner who was born in the state of New York.
Yeah.
No, it was,
yeah,
well, you know, and we had to deal with it for a lot of people. I mean, because really, I mean, what happened with that hurricane, the weather, I mean, I do think the earth is, I don't know. I mean, I think the earth is feeling the change, too. Then you can't deny the climate stuff, and that's our earth asking us to get together and heal. And that's why I want to do another water ceremony.
Hmm, nice. I want to say before we move on from the topic that what you mentioned, Tricia, about the wings, I think that's why we connect with the angels. Like, I connect with Archangel Michael very much, and he feels like, you know, like you two do. Like, I know him like I know you. He's got his own signature, and I call on him for a lot of things, and so many times he's silent. But I realized that, you know, the reason why I connect with him is because it's in me. There's something in me that understands that, and I need to feel that vibration. So,
yeah, for me it's Gabrielle, but yeah, I totally hear you. And and exploring and finding and
so let
just
me
really.
Let me understand, you ladies, too, have been calling your guides to you in the last couple of months a great deal.
Yeah.
I myself have been doing that, too. It's part of me going, come on, I need help. That I'm just obviously, you know, there. Come on, I need help. There's the next, you know, the next place to get to. I also, and I was saying this to you in our conversation in the Hangout yesterday, Nick, I have been pretty famous for saying for years that, you know, in order to define light, that you really do have to walk into the darkness. Well, I don't have to walk into the darkness. The darkness comes to all of us because it's a natural magnetic occurrence in life and in the physical realm. What I can do, though, is stay in the light in order to be ready for it when it gets here, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Staying in the light now, not that, you know, I think that's part of the warrior part of me that wants to take it on and have at it. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? There's ways and ways. There's strategies.
Mm-hmm. But that have at it, I think, is very important because that is courage. And if it's applied in the right way, it's essential. I've noticed some people that have so much information, have an entire bag of tools, and just choose not to use it. And being a psychologist and philosopher, I have to wonder why. Why do they have all the tools that I've seen so many people do so much with, and they choose, why would anyone choose not to use them? And the one thing I came up with is it's courage. You have to have the courage to go to war with yourself and lose and win. You have to be all right with that. Otherwise, you're not going to... So that warrior nature, to me, is essential.
Well, you know, you're peeling the onion. You're peeling the onion of the self, and you're saying, okay, I'm going to go down to the truth. I am going to look and see and acknowledge this is the ancient mystery school. This is the shamanic depth. This is the journey. And that's essentially what winter solstice, and in the southern hemisphere, the summer solstice for them down there. But what this solstice, what this alignment for planet Earth and between our star and the center of our galaxy is really thudding at us right now is all about, you know, going through the shamanic death and being reborn on the other side of this solstice. We're in for a rebirth right now, and so we're going through all of the steps of facing our fears to get there.
Amen to that.
Yeah, well, I'm just glad. I mean, I just feel like, phew, I'm glad we're on the last push because, I mean, this whole year, again, I mean, it's been, for me, the restoration project, and it's been cool because I've been restoring my spirit that I must have been when I was a little kid to the spirit that I am today, and I have to just, you know, plug Gwendolyn and just say I love my essence of Trisha that we made a long time ago with that dirt, you know, and I mean, because it really
You started talking about that, and that's exactly where I went, and it's almost as if I was astrally there and I saw you harvesting that dirt and what was in your head and
you
your
know,
heart.
Yeah, I mean, it was, like, really, you know, magical for your powerful or whatever term. I mean, but just in terms of focusing intent, you know, and what's been going on in my head going through that process and how with healing and carrying the light with you and surrounding yourself with light. I mean, now when I take it in the mornings or whenever, you know, randomly I remember, I've been thinking about the healing light just sort of like dawn in my belly. And just like as the drop goes in and the intent goes in and it focuses and manifests, it's like a pink golden dawn growing in my belly and spreading out within me and connecting outward. And that's my intent when I take those drops.
Well,
and
another bringer of the dawn.
I really like that visualization of the dawn coming in your belly. That's really...
That's
good. I like that.
That's very powerful, yes. That is very...
Well, you know, I learned it from you guys. It's, anyway.
Well, and here's the thing.
And Max, and my buddy Max, this, you know, Max is Psychic Life Coach. You know, for me, that's been great.
Well, I tell you, too, and it's about sharing with the people we come into contact who becomes part of our community or who we run it. It's about sharing it, you know, and remembering that awakening happens on all kinds of different levels. There's the crack across your face, and then there's the slap to the breadbasket, and then there's the bright light that appears before you and takes you out of yourself and up and shows you the miracle of all of it and brings you back down. I mean, this is a time when initiation is going on again, and there's no limits to what you're really able to reach for or achieve, and in the same breath. There's no darkness greater than what you have to turn to and face for yourself to get to that light that lifts you up, too.
It's 8 o'clock.
Well, that was rude. But,
what was that?
It's my
computer.
But, you know, I scheduled us for a 90-minute show tonight. So
it's so smart. I'm so glad to have the extra time. And I just have to mention that usually Merlin, my cat, does not stick in the room while I'm doing the shows. I've noticed that this is the first night that he is just chilling like a villain over there. And I think it's because he knows I've got it in here. You know, he's the watch cat. Like, he's got to, you know, hold down the energy wherever, you know, a tent flap is flapping. So I think that's why he's going somewhere else. But he seems to really want to be in here today. It's pretty cool.
Well, and you know, I think that along with the what's going on right now, so many people are plugged into this. I would say as many people who are plugged into the negative version that the Illuminati 1%, the awful side of the street, the dark ones, I don't care, archons, whatever you want to call them, the idiot clan, as much as they are trying to throw the apocalyptic fear into people and keep them in, you know, keep us in a place of servitude towards their greater, you know, greed. And I mean that in multidimensional levels, by the way. I think that also there's as many people, I think we have achieved awakening with people who are looking up and saying, I'm not buying that. You know, I'm awake. I understand. And again, I'll say that the global revolution, Occupy, October 2012, whatever group or Decolonize Oakland, whatever groups, we're all connected. And this has been, it's happened in the Eternal Sea, as, you know, it makes sense. It would, even though that's a biblical description. The Eternal Sea is politics, and that would make sense because it's about the leadership and guidance of the planet. And people are waking up, and they're saying, enough. And it's just as spiritual as it is political because people are doing this in finding their moral compass, in grasping their own values back.
Well, I think that's absolutely right. And one of the things about when you do step into the political arena, you're asked eventually the question, which side are you on? And that makes you define your moral compass, it defines your own integrity, your morality, what do you stand for, who are you, and what does that mean? And,
right.
You know, a lot of times, I mean, there are a lot of people out there just floating and not making a declaration, but little by little, more and more people are declaring they're on, you know, this side of the spirit, this side of the earth, this side of peace, sustainability, and economic justice, social and economic justice. And, I mean, that does take courage, especially in, you know, a society that's been encouraged to be isolated from each other. And, you know, the way we're all in our little houses looking at the TV shows and consumers and all the things that this society spends so much money to develop. And it does take courage to step outside of that and say, I don't need to, even when it's like a teenager saying, I don't need to buy that lipstick or whatever thing you turn your back, you know, I don't have to be that way. I think it's cool, and I think it's happening more and more every day, a little bit, each one and all that stuff.
I agree with you, Tricia, and, you know, we have this compelling thrust of solar and cosmic magnetic influences right now that are pushing us towards a unification of humanity, That I have no doubt that that's what's going on. And if Flash was here, I think she'd be saying yes, that on the astrological side of it all, we are being compelled to go through rebirth right now and to grasp unification with one another again and to define ourselves as humanity and not as, I don't know what the correct word for it is anymore.
Separatism, really. Separate parts.
We're separated, we're fragmented, you can look inside, I just, thinking of Flash, I remember that term, unity consciousness, and I think she's the first person I heard use it in conversation, but it really is what it is. It's like, when you look at the world, there's only one of us here, this one essential human spirit.
And isn't that the idea, to be able to stand in that? Because in order to get into the unity consciousness, you do have to stand alone, especially in a world that has been going a certain way, and we know what kind of a world we want to see, and it's not right now. So you have to be able to stand alone. And I think the only way you can stand alone is to have your community around you that all recognizes who you are and what you are and would love you to stand in your own aloneness, in your own power. So then everyone can be into the unity consciousness. It's funny, you've got to go alone to be able to be part of the all-encompassing world.
Well, I think that aloneness comes from how much you have to be willing to not be with the crowd. It's like, I'm thinking back to the election and when I was feeling like such an outsider because I voted green and everybody I hung out with was voting for Obama. And the point right now is how alone I felt in taking that stand. And what an outsider I felt like from my family. I mean, it was really, once the election was over and all that, people were much more, just saying like, wow, it was cool that you did that. I think that there was so much fear before the election that once people sort of relaxed, they were like, oh, it's cool that you could be green. But that's stepping outside of the mainstream. That's stepping outside of your comfort zone. That's what takes, the courage. And I think that, turning to an archangel energy like Michael, that is so courageous, can be helpful at times like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you do have to call on your guides to back you up, to have your, to put the wind in your sails that way spiritually.
Yeah.
That's how we get the job done. And we do it, we might take action on our own, but we do it.
Excuse me, I too need your attention.
I really...
What?
I do apologize for that. I don't know what... That's the other thing. Communications and technology have their own way of wagging
Guys, my cell phone has been like wigging out the last few days. Okay, it's here we go, alignment, solar flare, I don't know, but anyway.
Well, and it's not that I would ask you, in the last few years, of course, we've always had, I can remember my mother used to love to watch on Saturday afternoons. She would watch the creature feature movies with, like, the Hammer films from London, with Christopher Lee and such. But it's gotten to epic proportions. This is always about us looking at the darkness and having, a way of transmuting it by seeing it through the lens of storytelling and fiction or, myth. And that's a lot about our worldview right now. I mean, we are actually being fed, spoon-fed the fear of death through all this zombie stuff and all of this war games and everything, there's been a ramping up of the polarities in a big way right now. And I think that what it does serve is it can actually desensitize you to death, you know?
Mm-hmm. Hester Hicks talks about that, or Abraham, that that humans have such a misconception of death. And that,
yeah.
I was listening today on the passing of Jerry Hicks and all the feelings that Esther was going through, and that, again, she said she felt so alone, and she felt like, you know, how could he leave her like this? So what did she want him to do about it, become undead? Like, is that really what she's asking? And this isn't right. She kept saying, this is not the way it's supposed to be. And then finally, I guess it took her a few days, and then she realized that, well, what if this is right? And what if this is the way it's supposed to be? And to acknowledge the fact that there really is no death, that the other side, that perspective is just as great and wonderful as from over here, and can move in so many different ways. So
that's the one thing that I've had in common, I think, with most of my longest friends and the people who I work with in my, what I would call my community, but I mean just in friendship. I mean, people want to know that there's something more beyond death. I mean, if you listen to someone like, oh God, what's his name, Dawkins, talking about, you know, his atheism, I mean, he doesn't have any more footing to stand on than the God figure who's talking about a God does. You know what I'm saying? Because there is just there's no science for them to really, that has been approved of yet, that will put it, in fact, science that's there right now suggests that and confirms in many ways, it's just that it's so debatable whether or not it's confirmable, that there is life after death. I mean, you know, scientists come up with, you know, remnant consciousness in the body. Give me a fucking break. It's, you know, by electrolytes that are shooting off after your physical death that are running through your brain still, and if you come back, that's what was happening type of thing. But the one thing in common that I've had with many people, I think, is this quest of the dynamics of eternity. You know, I mean, is this all there is? And that's the eternal question that our ancestors posed to us in so many lessons, with so many myths that were there to teach us. And they're very important right now to consider and to work through. We're going through a huge reenactment of the rebirth myths right now, with this change of ages. And it's cosmic. It's not so much earthbound, it's cosmic. And of course it will relate and translate to earthbound. And the other thing is that, you know, climate change is going on as a symptom of this huge change, as above, so below. It's also going on all the planets and on our star right now in this solar system. All of the planets are going through huge changes too. And the sun is acting extraordinary. I mean, there are 12 Earth-sized, huge, bigger than Earth-sized. One's a Jupiter-sized solar tornado on the surface of the sun, which they aren't sure has ever happened to the sun before, you know? There's a lot of phenomenon that's going out there. And you have to remember, too, that many of the greatest, in fact, all of our greatest cosmologies and storytelling and hero stories are really the intercoursing of the constellations, the stars, and the planets, and how they have affected our journey on planet Earth.
Wow.
You know?
Talk about going through it together, but yet everyone's going through it on their own thing. You have a whole solar system going through the same thing we're going through.
It really, it is. And, of course, we as conscious human beings and a planetary consciousness, remember the resonance factor here. We're going through it at a more, you know, we're pushing it along. We're hurrying it up on this planet with the greed and the pollution and the destroying of the atmosphere and the planet. It's what comes next. But 12,000 years ago, prior to the last ice age, there was a climate shift that was pretty much along the same lines. I don't know if you guys have seen that information out there, but it's what happened.
Yeah, well, I think that a lot of times climate change deniers will point back to that sort of evidence if they even admit that the world was there. I mean, you know, I mean, so many of them are so literal, dominionist sort of, you know, Sarah Palin worldview that, you know, what, the Earth is 6,000 years old and whatever.
Yeah.
You know, but no, I, you know, it's hard for me to remember a lot of times what I've learned and where I've learned it. I mean, especially, you know, just walking through the Museum of Natural History so much with my kid when he was little. You know, you pick up that, you know, that there are, that there were great shifts, you know, but at this point, I think you're right that our own behavior with the, you know, with the ice caps melting and like where I'm living now, we have a friend. Anyway, I mean, she just left on Monday to go down and drive a bus of scientists across Antarctica. And so she'll be driving scientists back and forth from the little airport to the science stations further inland. And it's tricky because things aren't as frozen as they're supposed to be. And
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, you can't always land the plane because the ice isn't thick enough. In fucking Antarctica, that is nothing but ice, you know. And so, you know, anyway, I think that when you get pulled into, like, human behavior and that's when you get angry or disgusted and have to, like, take the breath and come from love and all of that. It's hard. I think it's hard to maintain that. But it's also like as you were talking, I was reminded about also how challenging it is to see yourself all the time as spirit and not fully connected or defined by our physical body. You know, it's tricky because I'm thinking about something that Nicole's friend Zion has said before about, you know, just this in the body and that in the body, and here we are in our body, and we are in our body, but we're not our body. We're an eternal spirit, and, you know, it's tricky to walk that line between concrete physical body reality of being in this earth and on this earth and the spirit that we are in terms of what happens after death, because death is about the body only.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so,
well,
anyway.
The other part that always grasps me, and that is that, you know, I really do love Gwen, and I don't want, I listen to so many people theorize about the unified consciousness and all that is and being connective to it, and I'm like, well, that would be a wonderful form of sentience, but however, I really don't want to lose me either. You know, and it's like, mm-hmm. I know I have several lives, and I do think that's part of our challenge right now is to awaken in ourselves to our past lives and or at least to the important lessons and issues and integrate them into the now to further awaken so that we do cross into a new age, if you will. I think that's really important.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I just think, like, well, we crossed, you know. I mean, we crossed. We're going. I mean, whether we're ready, I mean, ready or not, the new age is upon us. And like, okay, it could be 40 or 50 years before we see any evidence or whatever. I mean, I keep going back to the musical Hair and how long ago that was. Today and how, I mean, because we're talking about, you know, 100, 150 years of feeling this transition. And, you know, and when I say that, it reminds me of things like slavery in this country and how it hasn't really been that long since people thought it was cool to own each other. And, I mean, listening to somebody like Newt Gingrich talk, you'll think, well, they still think it's fine to own each other. In fact, they're pissed they can't. you know, and so, I mean, and that's when you get, because I don't think that you can ignore the political.
You know,
and there are our leaders. And anyway, I mean, we've been through a great shift.
Yeah, and here's the other thing, too. If you're familiar with, and you may not be, and I'll just do a little nutshell here, the interpretations of Braden and Carl Kalaman and even John Jenkins, and to a greater extent, the anchor that was provided by Arguelles with interpreting the Mayan calendar, and even what the Mayans elders who are out amongst us right now talking about, time has accelerated. There's a huge acceleration, and I think that's part of the emotional conflict within all of us who are awake right now is about, because time is, things are where it took, look how quick they come out with the new iPhone. Look how quickly things are changing in our world. There is a definite time acceleration going on here. So, yes, it's going to take, the shift is taking several, you know, a period of years in and out. However, right now, there is an acceleration going on big time. And I don't think that we can discount that. In other words, sure, it's going to be coming in and going out, and not everything. We're going to wake up on the 21st. It's going to be a great day. I do think there will be a point of the day, especially if we're focused and meditating, where, as Atak says, the Mayan elder who's out there right now, who's enjoying a great deal of play over the internet and on radio shows and TV. He is saying there's going to be an 8-minute period. Isn't it 8 minutes, Nick, that he said? 8-minute period where there's going to be focused energy, where if you're really smart, you're going to be in a position of meditation with yourself in a quiet space where you can download or hook into that energy from the cosmos. And you can, quite frankly, you should have a pencil and paper and write down the enlightenment or the inspirations that you get at that time, because it will come and then it will go. And it's up to you to put ground to it, to make it physical, to make it real. But there is an enlightenment that is possible on the 21st for every human being on the planet, I think probably every living thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that could... ecosystems. That could mean the bathos of the Gulf of Mexico. There is 8 minutes of enlightenment coming, and I do sense that this is a truth. This is something that will occur.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think it's going to be earth shattering. I think it's going to be unto each individual. As awakening and brightening as it's meant to be, as it's allowed by the individual. Mm-hmm. I do think, though, ecosystems and whole communities and populations, too, are going to experience this. There's going to be good. There's going to be something.
And also the power of so many people focusing on this time period, and then fewer but still so many people focusing on these 8 minutes. And the love, the amount of love, you know, what you can work with love and extreme energy is boundless, and the amount of information that you get. And in the Eastern Seaboard, it's 2:56 a.m. until 3:04 a.m. on the 22nd, and then like California, it's 11:56 p.m. So, just so you know.
Oh, good. I'm making a note.
Yeah, I am too.
I didn't know that, and so this mm-hmm. is yeah, this is like news to me, and I'm like, all right, this is great because, mm-hmm. you know, it's I mean, like when I hear 21st, I'm like, oh, dig it, it's the last day of school, and then we get to go on Christmas vacation, and I mean, because I, you know, and I mean, when you're on an academic calendar, there's nothing better than, you know, when the vacation kicks in, and. Mm-hmm. You know, to have all that at the set anyway, it's like, all right, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, and so it, I mean, in a way, it reminds me a little bit of the harmonic convergence because, mm-hmm. you know, I remember mm-hmm. when that was going on and making sure to just be in a place where I could go outside and see the sky mm-hmm. and, you know, just feel it. And mm-hmm. Maybe you don't really feel anything, you know. You're just standing there going like, well, golly, I feel a lot like I did 20 minutes ago.
Sure.
But that doesn't matter. It's like you're there mm-hmm. and you're doing it because you're in the now, and that's what's happening mm-hmm. now.
Right. I would remind everybody how important intention is. It sets the tone. It puts mm-hmm. the future into play. Intention, big thing, intention. We keep forgetting about it. Well, I do. I don't know. And we're down to the last couple of minutes of the show, guys. So if you guys have... I would say this, too, and on the Eastern Seaboard, this is going to happen at the psychic hour.
I know. I can just picture everyone, set a little alarm, get up, write it down, la, 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 go back to bed. I think it would be a really special, ceremonial time, personal ceremonial time.
No, I love it. I think there's so much power in ceremony and grounding and clarifying intent. I love a little ceremony. Love it a lot.
It's true. That's the other thing. Here, one of the most important things I think is coming around, especially within our community, is defining your own spirit, your own way of walking with all of the different lessons you've learned from other healers, from other disciplines and traditions. Some folks call it neo-shamanism, which you could. I think it's about the uniqueness of every individual to define their spiritual path.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yep, we're all there. We're like, yep. Yeah. I think it's great. No, I think that anyway, I'll be glad to participate and
yeah.
And it's things like that when you do just take a moment, and it's like, I mean, it kind of reminds me of, you know, on Shabbat when it's sundown and everybody's lighting candles. Mm-hmm. They're lighting candles around the world at sundown, and in that little moment there is a global connection, or at least, you know, mm-hmm. not only with yourself and your peers in the time zone or across the world, but mm-hmm. also with history and the just the tradition and, you know, 5,000 years of mm-hmm. lighting candles at sundown. And
yes, and this is wonderful. We've got 1 minute, ladies. Thank you so much.
All right.
Good night.
Good night. I'll see you guys soon.
Cool.
Okay.
Good night, Nicole. Good night, Trisha. And
good night.
Good night.
Thank you very much, and take advantage of what's coming up. Okay, I guess that's the show for tonight. Nicole and I will be with you next week. And also, we will be with you Tuesday for Woman Spirit Rising with Flesh Silver Moon.
Nice.
Night, Nick.
Good night, Glenn.